temple of God. The lamp was in the temple of God, and it was there for two reasons, maybe more, but at least two. It showed that it was spiritual occupation, showing that God was there. And then it was also, but it was there for spiritual occupation. We need to realize that it shows that God was there. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, look at what the Bible says. And the child ministered unto the Lord before Eliah, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Elias was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Verse number 3 says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And so that lamp, if we could turn over there, we won't, but we could turn over to the book of Exodus, and we could read how that lamp was supposed to burn all night long. Now, we don't deal with oil lamps as much today, maybe if the power goes out and stuff, but oil lamps don't work like our lights. Our lights are usually either on or off. These fluorescent lights probably won't dim or anything. They're either working or they're not working. But in those, in a light, when the oil starts to go down, the intensity will dim. Of course, in the Bible, oil was a type of the Holy Spirit often. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit working in our churches, working in the midst of our churches, then we're going to not see things the way they should. So that the intensity will dim. It will not be a steady light. I don't know about you. Have you ever read anywhere and had a light that flickered on and off as you were trying to read or you were trying to concentrate on something? It is extremely distracting. So the light would not be a steady light. It would waver. And, of course, as the flame would start to decrease, and it was much harder to see when the lamp was running low on oil. And so the temple in the light showed that God was there. It was to remind us in the dark times that God was there. And listen, let me tell you something. I don't care how bad times get. I wish that I could get this across today. I don't understand what Paul is going through tonight or what he's been going through in the last few days and with his wife being passed away and stuff. But can I tell you, if you look, you'll find God. You know, and in our darkest moments, the light is to remind us that we have Jesus there. Listen, when something seems helpless, the light is a reminder that God is still there. Hold your place there, but turn with me, if you would, over to John chapter number 1. Hold your place there, and let's look at what the Bible says in John chapter number 1. I thought about just quoting the verse, but I thought I would read it tonight. I love John chapter number 1. Many, many years ago, I memorized John chapter 1, verses 1 through 15, and those words have meant very much to me. But in John chapter number 1, as you're turning, I'm going to read the first three verses. I want us to focus on 4 and 5. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that's talking about Jesus. He was there in the beginning. The Bible says the same was in the beginning with God. The Bible says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, if that was the only verse in the Bible, I wouldn't believe in evolution. We went to the zoo on Monday, spent the whole day down there. I love going to the zoo. I love looking at those animals. And every time I look at those animals, I realize God made those animals for a purpose. We've seen a sacredism, I think is what it was called. And that sacredism was a pretty ugly bird, and its beak went out, and it formed in a curve. And, you know, I don't know why God, but you could look it up, and you'd find out that curved beak has a distinct purpose for what it did. And you know, all these, I was talking to Richard, and I said, man, I bet them elephants are glad that tusk finally evolved that long. I bet they died of thirst before it ever did that. But you know that thing didn't evolve. You can look at an elephant and see that God created. And to see that long tusk and to see how sensitive it is and thing it was working, but said all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, there was a man there that we thought he might have evolved into something. We went to the gorilla cage and... Look at Richard back there. I'm telling you, my wife said that guy walked up and that one of the zookeepers said, you're going to behave today, aren't you? He didn't behave. He was over there. He was acting like a gorilla or something, man. It got scary for a little while. I wasn't worried about the animals, but I was worried about the people there. And then notice what the Bible says about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. And in verse number 4, it says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. How many here to save tonight, praise God? You have that life inside of you, and that life inside of you is the light of men.
So I don't care how dark the times get. I don't care what you're going through. We have that witness of the light. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, our fleshly nature sometimes doesn't understand the things that God brings in our life. But we have to focus on the light and what God has done for us. Listen, we are living in a dark world today. There is no doubt about that. But let me ask you a question. Has Jesus lost any of his life? Light? Is he not still the light of men? You know, I think of the day of all those young people. There was a young girl sitting off to my left. She was a young teenage girl, and she was just weeping during the message today. And I said, if you're here today and you don't know if you're saved or not, would you raise her hand? Immediately her hand went up. And you know what? It's a dark time for her, but I hope to God she understands there is a light out there, and that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And several people raised their hand this morning, and I mentioned two of them who came and are interested in that light. And I'm praying that God will give me the opportunity to share that light with people. And so tonight, we want to talk about some places where the lights are going out, where the lights are dimming in our world today. Would you, let's pray. Father, help us as we think about this simple little message tonight. Lord, as we're preparing for a Bible conference coming up that we hope breaks out in revival, and Lord, revival isn't for the lost people. Revival is for the saved people. And dear God, I know there's some people here tonight that they need revival. They need to get back to that old what they had when they first got saved, and to love you and to have a fervency to live for you. But Lord, the light is dimming. And I believe the closer we get to the end times, the more we're going to have to fan the flames in our lives and have these meetings and stuff. I pray for Brother Mari Gibson that you would be now helping him, Lord, to anoint him with the Holy Spirit, that as he comes, he'll bring the messages that we need to hear. Lord, I pray for our bus kids, even tonight. Some of our bus kids who have came faithfully for a long time informed me that their mom and dad are fighting, and so the mom is going to take the kids and move to Indiana. And I walked off, she told somebody, I'll never see my dad again. And Lord, it just amazes me. It amazes me at what people are doing. Help us tonight as we think about that in Jesus' name. Now, the reason I think the lights are growing dim everywhere, and I'm kind of doing this in reverse order, I think the where it needs to be fixed is the last order, and I did that on purpose. Number one, I believe you got to admit the lights are going out in America. The lights are dimming in America. There's so many things that are going on, and a lot of this stuff we've talked about, but Governor Ralph Northam is the governor from Virginia who recently was the one where they signed the bill that if a baby was born in an abortion, here's what he said they would do. They would take that, they ask him, what will you do if they don't want the baby? He said, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to make the baby comfortable, and we're going to set it to the side, and then the mother and the doctor will make a decision about what they're going to do with that baby. You know, it's sad enough when that baby's in the womb. You know, what did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah said that he knew me before I was conceived. The Bible says that I was formed in my mother's womb. And we know that abortion is wrong, and we have cried out against abortion for many years in America. And now they're not just doing abortions. Now they're talking about letting babies die who are born. You know, the Democrats used to say, we're trying to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. That was a lie. That was a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Do you know what they use abortion for today, and most abortions are? Abortions are a form of birth control. Can I tell you? I can tell you how not to have kids, and you don't have to kill babies in order to do it. One of the most selfish things in the world is to take the life of a baby because you wanted a few moments of pleasure, and you are not willing to live up the responsibility that the lights are going out in America. Listen, I do not hate homosexuals. But homosexuality is still a sin today. And now in America, who would have thought in our lifetime, there's a man from the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. His name is Pete Buttigieg or something like that. An openly gay married who's married to another man is running for the president of the United States on the Democrat ticket. God help the Democrats tonight. God help the people. I don't want that D out beside my name in any shape or any form. Not only is that man running for president of the United States, he's mocking our vice president of the United States. He's mocking him because of what he believes about the Bible. Can I tell you tonight, I am not one, I don't think we ought to ever do harm to homosexualities, and I don't want to throw any off the brew, and I've never beat one up, but if it's wrong, it's wrong. It's just like preaching at people and telling them smoking cigarettes is wrong. It's a sin against God. It's just like telling them drinking is wrong. It's a sin against God. We need to tell people that they are. And not only does he mock our president, our vice president, and make fun of our vice president, he claims that God is okay with it. Is that not a sad thing? I don't want to bust your bubble, but our president doesn't have a problem with homosexuality. The highest appointed homosexual ever in the history of the Republican Party is a man by the name of Richard Gurnell, and he is the ambassador to Germany, and y'all care to know who appointed him? President Trump appointed him. I like a lot of what President Trump is doing. Listen, I want you to understand something. President Trump is not against gay, lesbians, and all that other stuff. He's against them in the military, but he's against them in the military because of the harm it causes to military readiness and stuff. But he is not opposed to those things tonight. So I tell you, based on some of these things, that the light is going out in our nations. It's an amazing thing to me. Brother Benny gave me a paper. I read it on Sunday, or whatever night day you gave it to me. Benny read it to me. But our country prefers Islam to Christianity today. Let me read you some things about this that he gave me. This is somewhere in Turkey, during the Turkish border, but an area that's controlled by ISIS for nearly 4 years before they were driven out in 2018. A mechanic named Jazim converted to Christianity late last year. He says he was jailed by ISIS for 6 months in early 2016 when he failed a test ISIS gave him about his knowledge of the Quran. He was forced to read and memorize the Quran and was whipped if he failed their test. I think I'll try that with you guys. I'll give you a test on Sunday morning about the Bible. If you fail it, Benny's going to take you out back and whoop you guys. I mean, you know what? I can't force people to be a Christian. I can't force you to do the right thing. I can preach the Bible, and you can go and do whatever it is you want to do. But you know what that's called? That is called free will. And guess who gave you the free will to do that? God gave you the free will. He said, after I witnessed their brutality with my own eyes, I started to be skeptical about my belief. He said, it didn't take me long to discover that Christianity was the religion I was looking for. There was another Muslim man by the name of Faraz. He was also converted to Christianity along with his wife and two daughters after living under ISIS rule for 2 years. Faraz said he witnessed people being thrown off the buildings to their death for being gay. Man, you would think if there was any other reason people would be against Islam, would be because of what Islam says to do with gay people. He said if you were caught smoking or drinking, you would be whipped, held in a cage, tortured, and sometimes killed. Faraz said he found it hypocritical that his ISIS torturers would pray at the mosque, then return to torture their captives, then pray again, and then return to whip and torture them some more. He said, if heaven is made for ISIS in their belief, I would choose hell for myself. And yet in our country today, Islam is picked up and Islam is lifted up. Listen, I was listening to a lady who was reporting recently. We have in our Congress, we now have a few Islamic people in there. We have a lady by the name of Ilhan Omar. And Ilhan Omar is from Minnesota. And her district has in Minnesota has the most Somalis. And she's a Somali refuge. A few years ago, she was in Somali. And now she is a representative of the Congress of the United States for her district. They say there's 80,000 Somalian people in there, but there was somebody who said that if you were to go to her district, you would not know you were in America. She said in that district, and this is taught in the Islamic community, that girls who dress in such a way to show skin are raped by those men. And guess what those ladies deserve? They deserve to be raped according to that religion. And what she said, you would not believe what is going on in those areas where these women go to and stuff. And it's in our country that that is happening. She did not come over here to become an American. She came over here to Islamicize America. And the light is going out. Listen, I don't know about you, but it bothers me when we list men like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and call them reverend and say that they are Christians. I mean, it's absolutely crazy that those men are even lifted up that way. Can I tell you tonight, the light is growing dim in America. But worse than that, the light is going dim in our churches today. Point number two, the light is growing dim in our churches. I was talking to some lady today that professed to be a Christian, and she was trying to talk to me. I wished I'd had more time to talk to her. She told me about her son who died in a motel room, and she said he found bottles of vodka and cocaine in there, and they think he took the both, and he had, from what she said, and he died. She says, you know, drinking beer is okay, but you can't do that. You know what? He probably didn't start with vodka and cocaine. You know what he probably started with? He probably started with beer, cigarettes, or something like that. Can I tell you, beer's just as bad as anything else is. God does not want you to be under the influence of anything other than the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, we need to understand something. Drinking is never going to be socially acceptable in God's eyes. It may be socially acceptable in the world's eyes. People say Jesus turned water into wine. They don't even study the passage of Scripture. They won't even find out what went on in that day. Listen, I believe in that day there was two kinds of wine. There was fermented wine and non-fermented wine, and even to get drunk on wine and stuff, I won't go into it tonight, but I just want you to know, but churches today, all churches used to preach against it, now is saying it's all right. Listen, I can't tell you how many pastors in the time I've been here have been caught in immoral relationships and caught doing things that are wrong, and then they can try to continue to be pastors and stuff. Look, I don't mean to be rude to anybody, but James Baker should not be preaching after what he had done, and he should be on television and doing all of those things, because he lost his qualifications to be that, and they're in immoral relationships, and they try to do that. Listen, there are pastors today, and there are courses that you can get online and take. You say, type in, you want to build your church, and here's what they'll tell you to do. They'll send you a survey, and you can go out in the areas of Florida, Illinois, and you can ask them what do they want in a church, and they give you all these lists, and you find out what they want, and then guess what the preacher's supposed to do? Give them what they want. Can I tell you, that is not God's way of doing things, but the light is growing dim in our service. Listen, sadly, churches are canceling. The Wednesday evening services in many churches are a thing of the past, and they're canceling Sunday evening services. And many churches, if they have a Wednesday evening service, it's a youth night, and they come in for a few-minute Bible study, and then they eat, and then they play games. And I'm not against meeting together and playing games and stuff, but it is not what church is about. Church is to teach people the Word of God, and there's many churches that are closing their Sunday school classes down because folks won't attend. Can I tell you, I don't believe the answer is to shut them down. I believe the answer is to continue to stay with those things and to pray and ask God to help us. The lights are growing dim in our churches. Women preachers are accepted in many denominations today, and not only accepted but encouraged to do that. I'm not against women. I don't know what I'd have done today without my wife. I don't know what I'd have done. I was trying to get things ready for the funeral, and I was calling them and find out what's going on over there. And they said they were having food. I said, well, who is organizing that? I don't know. I mean, you know, you just can't say we're having food. I'm like, what's... And so finally, they gave me a guy's name. I called the guy and I said, hey, are you guy in charge of the food? He said, no. He said, I'm just a guy that's going to unlock the building in the morning. And so I finally got a hold of another lady and I said, what do you want? And she said, well, I don't know, just food. I said, well, what if we all bring the same thing? And so she started doing so, and finally we were able to get, but my wife got up this morning, she cooked, and many of you others did. Thank you so much for the food. It was a beautiful testimony for our church and stuff, but man, I thank God for my wife and what she does. But I want you to understand something. Though she has the knowledge to preach, it is not God's will for her to preach. It is God's will for her to be my helpmeet, to assist me in that. People think, you think men are better than women? I do not. I love women. I love the work that they do. But we see that being accepted. You know, you can't tell the difference in church music and the world's music today. And it's getting worse and worse in that way. Look, tonight my boys are here in church, and a little bit of them don't want to be here tonight because of the ball team they were playing on. The coach has now decided that they're going to start playing on Wednesday night. So they're having a doubleheader tonight. And the doubleheader starts at 6 o'clock, so they won't get out of church until 7:30. It'd be 7:45 before they can get changed. They'll already be started in the second game, and they won't be able to play. There's another preacher's son on the field that's playing tonight, and he's in church tonight, and guess where his son is? His son's down there on the baseball field. And you know what? That's got to be a little bit of a sour taste in my boy's mouth. That another pastor, listen, it goes totally against what I preach and what I teach, and they need to be there. One of the boys told my sons the other day, God will forgive you for missing church. Listen, rather than have God forgive you, you know what he said when he said God will forgive you? What did he say? He said it's wrong. He said it's when he said God will forgive you, he said it's wrong. So why don't you just not do it? Instead, I have to ask God for forgiveness, even with his own mouth. He said it was wrong, you know? And it's just a sad day that we live in that, you know, I tell you what I'd do. Can I tell you what I'd do if my pastor's son was playing ball on Wednesday night and not in church? I'd find me another church. I'd find me a church with a pastor who believed in the Word of God and believed that the Bible and church was much more important than any other sort of outside activity. But I'm telling you, the light is growing dim in our churches. We shut down our services for whatever we have to do. I couldn't believe it. I think it was Benny telling me about a church recently. They had a funeral on Sunday afternoon, so they shut down the evening service. Well, I had a funeral on Wednesday, but we're not shutting down the evening service. I was a little bit tired, but I get to preach it. It makes me feel a little bit better, you know. But we're not going to shut down the service. We'll preach tired. We'll have somebody else do those preaching. You know what's interesting? People don't even think about what's happened in the history. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was under great conviction one Sunday morning, and he was going to a church. He had a specific church he was going to, and he wanted to listen to a man preach. And he left, and guess what was going on? A blizzard. Not a snowstorm, a blizzard. He literally could not make it to the church he was going to that morning. But on the way, he found another church. He went to the church. There was only a handful of people there. The preacher couldn't even make it in. The weather was so bad that day. But there was a man sitting on the second row and waited a little while. He figured he was a deacon. I think later on he said it was a deacon. A man in the church who finally got up. He was not the pastor, but he opened up the Bible and he went to that verse where it said, look and live. And for the next few minutes, he preached on look and live. And before the service was over that day, do you care what happened? You know what happened? Charles Haddon Spurgeon received the Lord Jesus Christ in that blizzard on that day. He got saved and he went on to be. He's known today as the Prince of Preachers and all of the things he was happening. You know what? I bet you old Charles Haddon Spurgeon is awful glad that there was somebody that didn't close the church on that day. So we see the lights are going dim in our country and the lights are going dim in our churches and the lights are going dim in our homes. Listen, divorce is high because we don't mean the vows that we make. I'm not against mom and dad's working, but the truth of the matter is mom and dads are working so many hours that the influence from their children come from somebody else. Listen, summer's upon us, and man, I hate summer when everybody takes their clothes off and girls are allowed to wear the tightest and the shortest and most revealing clothing because we don't want to fight them anymore. We don't want to stand against them. We don't want to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, most of the people don't even know a lot of times where their kids are or who their kids are with. Sex outside of marriage is accepted and almost promoted in our homes. There are homes I was brought up in a home when you didn't bring somebody the opposite sex in and stay in the same room with them overnight. That didn't happen. It didn't care who you was or how old you was. My mom and dad will tell you today if you come in with somebody. They're very hospitable people and open their doors, but they're not going to do that. Listen, sports and school trips and clubs and many other things are much more important than church. If those things come up, church is placed in the background because it is no longer important in the homes of people today. Listen, the light is going out in our government. The light is going out in our churches. And the lives are going out in our homes. What hope do we have? And look at what the Bible says in verse number 9. You know the story. Eli laid down and God came to him, or Samuel laid down and God came to him and called, said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel thought it was Eli and went to Eli. He said, I didn't call you. And went back and he said, listen. Finally, Eli said, you know, God is speaking. And he said, next time you hear that voice, here's what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, the Bible says there in our first chapter said that in those days there was no open vision. God had not been speaking in an open vision. And there were several times throughout the scripture that God chose to be silent. And there was no open vision. Can I tell you, right after the Old Testament was finished, there was 400 years before there would be another vision from God before Jesus came. 400 years of silence. You know how long it's been since we've had anything? 2,000 years, but we have something they didn't have. What do we have? We have the completed Word of God. But 2,000 years is still a long time, isn't it? Man, can you, it's not in a few days. Listen, you know what the answer is? The answer is to tell God, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, I'm going to tell you very quickly, we'll close. Can I tell you some places where you'll be able to listen to the Lord speak? You'll be able to listen to the Lord speak in the songs that we sing. Every one of our songs that we sing from this hymn book, if you know Byron Fox, and many of you do, you know Byron Fox put every song in this book for a reason, and the reason was it promotes the Bible and it will help you. And you know, when we sing those songs, we ought to be standing up. We ought to have our song books open. We ought to be singing along with the message. You need to listen in the singing. You need to listen in the preaching. You need to listen in the reading of the Bible. Listen, we need to learn to hear that still small voice as He speaks inside of us, and we need to learn to respond in obedience. Let me ask you tonight, how's the light in your life? If the light in your life is starting to grow dim, what you need to do is just ask the Lord, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We need to start listening for God to move in our life and then just obey Him. I hope you're praying for our meeting that's coming up, and I hope you're praying for our church that God would move and work as only He can. If you're here tonight and don't know if you're saved or not, we'd love to have them take the Bible and share with you how to be saved. If God has spoken in your heart, you need to come with Him. We're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed, but you feel free to come to this altar and pray as long as you need.